as I look out and as I engage, just even the building, the structure, and all the that goes in, it just reminds me of that time when I was in seminary for so many years. How many people on that 7, 8, 9, 10-year track, right? So many years then, and then also teaching. You know, I taught in the seminary for about 10, 11, 12 years, and so it just brings me back. It brings me back to some times where my heart was just full with so much joy, but at the same time, a time when I was fighting for my joy. Not necessarily because seminary was problematic, but the reality was that life outside of seminary didn't care whether I was called by God to go to seminary. And so sometimes things were happening outside of seminary that created greater senses of stress. And so I have a word as we to you based upon your desire as a student to prepare yourself to serve the Lord full time, at the same time of seeking to balance life in order to acquire your seminary education. Wouldn't it be cool if we could just ask God, Lord, if you could just allow the suffering and the difficulties and the hard times to come after I graduate? You know, that would kind of make things a little bit better. But as you know, God uses the hard times, the difficulties, the times of suffering while we're in seminary still to sanctify us and to conform us to the image of his son. And so what I want to talk about today is how to praise God in the wilderness, how to praise God in the wilderness. Now, seminary is not the wilderness, but there are times when life is dry and life is hard. And so I want you to kind of think through the idea of what does my heart do and what is my perspective towards God when things are hard and when things are scary and when I experience relational pain, whether in your marriage or even amongst your children. What we see in Psalm 63 is a beautiful picture of David's heart and his expressions of his heart in the midst of a wilderness experience. We see David remembering God. We see him acknowledging the presence of God. We see him seeking God, and we see him clearly resting in God's love. For some of you all who aren't familiar with Psalm 63, it is a recollection of 2 Samuel 15 through 17, when David found himself in the wilderness, about 20-mile stretch from the Judean desert from the Dead Sea. Absalom, his very own son, was pursuing to take his life. You want to talk about hard times. You want to talk about difficulty. But yet we see here that David pins this beautiful hymn of praise unto God as he expresses his heart before the Lord. Look at Psalm 63. Let's look at just verses 1 through 4 for the sake of time. He says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. In that first verse, we see that David does not wait until he gets out of the wilderness in order to praise God. He praises God right in the midst of the wilderness. He doesn't solely express his displeasure for the heat and the fatigue and even the emotional tension within his heart of his own son coming after him. He expresses his desire for God in the midst of the wilderness. And as we who are believers in Christ can see that because of Jesus, we can as well, in the midst of our wilderness, remember and acknowledge Jesus in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our sadness, in the midst of our need for refreshment. You see, in the wilderness, we still have God. And oftentimes, our circumstances will seek to lie to us as if God is not in the midst of the wilderness. You see, we don't have to wait until we get out of hard times, nor do we have to figure out life on our own. We can call upon the Lord in the midst of a drought. I'll never forget having 4 years of Greek, just struggling with that. How many people have struggled with Greek? How many struggle with Dr. Kruger's class? I've heard some stories about him. But in that time, those drought moments, you can still call upon the Lord. David shares his affection and desire for God, and then he demonstrates that this God isn't just a desperate call. It's not just a call of rescue. It's a call of personal connection. He says, my God. He's not just calling for God. He's calling out for my God. And this shows the nearness of God in turmoil, the nearness of God in hard times. David says that God is acquainted with my story. He knows my story. He is my God. You see, the wilderness didn't cause David to disconnect himself from his God. To David, the same God who was the God of the Ark of the Covenant was the God in the desert wilderness. You see, David wasn't in a transactional relationship with God. That transactional relationship means that sometimes when things are going good, everything's good with God. But when everything goes bad, it's really, God, where are you? You see, David says, look, I know this God. He is my God. He says, earnestly I seek you. This word earnestly means early. He says, in the midst of my wilderness experience, I'm going to seek after you. I'm going to earnestly seek you with a sense of urgency. He urgently seeks after God before the opportunity is missed. You see, David sees the wilderness not as an opportunity to disconnect himself from God, but an opportunity to pursue God. And because of Jesus, we as well can turn to God and earnestly seek after him in the wilderness of life. We don't have to wait for God to prove that he's with us. We can pursue him in the midst of what we call our dry wilderness. And so the question is for you, what is your dry wilderness? What is your painful moment in life? Where is God in the midst of where you are right now? David said, everything about me is struggling. He says, both my soul as well as my flesh is longing for God. And he says, I'm not just thirsty and I'm not just tired. He recognizes that his entire being is longing and desirous of God in this wilderness. And so instead of his circumstances causing him to pursue God to get out of those circumstances, instead himself, David, reminds himself that his circumstances is his need for God. You see, your circumstances inside or outside of seminary are a reminder to your soul and to your flesh that you desperately need God. You desperately need God. And so it's not an opportunity for you to run from God or distance yourself from God, but to recognize how much you really need him. And so when you go through things in seminary, it doesn't mean that God is against you and God is not for you. It just means at the same time, he's trying to teach you that you desperately need him. In verse 2, he recalls these past times, and I love this. He says he recalls these past times before the Ark of the Covenant to remind his soul and his flesh of the power and glory of God. Look at verse 2. It says, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Now, granted, he's in the midst of a wilderness. And at the same time, he's thinking of his time in the sanctuary. What does this mean? His times in the sanctuary before the Ark of the Covenant had become so sweet of a memory in the wilderness of the power of God that all he wanted to do was think about those times. David had nothing in the desert but God. And even though he was weak and frail, he recalled for his soul and his flesh the recollection of the power and glory of God. Now, sometimes in a wilderness, we do need to reflect, don't we? We need to think about God's power. We need to think about his glory in the midst of where we are. You see, your current situation or your educational marital wilderness can't shortchange what God what you have known to experience about God. He's powerful, he's glorious, not just in the sanctuary, but also in the wilderness of life. And in my 12 years of pastoring, I've had to remind myself that God, you are faithful, you are powerful, you are glorious, not just when things are going well, but in the midst of some of the hardest times of my very own life. You see, in your wilderness, recall to yourself the power and glory of God. When you get out of that test that you don't think went well, remind yourself of the power and the glory of God. Now, I know everybody in here is an A student, so I think I'm preaching to the choir. David is in a desert recalling God's power and glory. And what God is doing is he's using that to reboot his soul and his flesh in the wilderness to never stop hoping and trusting in God. But notice the text continues and says in verse 3, he says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. In other words, he's not going before God to have his life spared. He's going before the Lord with praise because of God's relentless love for him. He said, I'm beholding your power and glory because your steadfast love is better than life. This is why I praise you. I love that. David recalling past times in the sanctuary whereby God's power and glory were on display. And he says this reality was another expression of God's love for him. You see, in your wilderness, his steadfast love is present so that you can move into praising him. And so, as we bring this to a close, I want to remind you as students, praise him in the wilderness. Don't think that you can praise him after you graduate. Praise him right now. You're not delivered. Praise him. Your member of your family is not healed. Praise him. The finances are getting low and you're wondering how you're going to pay for school. Praise him. Your marriage isn't completely restored. Praise him. Some of the older saints here who have children, they're not turning and walking with the Lord. Praise him. Your finances need adjustment and you need a little bit more hope at the end of your finances. Continue to praise him. Why? Because you've seen the power and glory of God before, and you are more loved than you can ever imagine. And so my encouragement to you today is as you think about the goodness of the Lord, look at what David says in verse 4. He says, I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. He says, I'm going to bless you forever, regardless if I'm sitting in a sanctuary or weary in the desert. He says, I will bless you. Sounds like Psalm 103, where the psalmist tells his soul to bless the Lord. And so my encouragement to you today as students and my encouragement over the last 26 years of ministry is this. Let's experience God in the wilderness with praise. Let's remember him. Let's acknowledge him. Let's seek him. And let's rest comfortably in his love. Amen.